and Jules. This is the Nick and Jules podcast.
Know someone who would make a great disability support worker? Employ them through Carer Solutions.
Hello, we're here for the podcast. Take two. That first one, so illicit, everything had to be deleted.
Yeah, I don't want to get cancelled before I've begun, so.
So true.
I needed your help, I guess, earlier today. I was like, hey, Nick, you know, I want to get a good job. What should I do? And you were like, oh, you know, demos are important. And then you were like, you can listen to my demo that got me this job, you know, Hit Vic Breakfast. And I was like, that would be so helpful, Nick, because like, what should I be doing?
Yeah.
And you were like, maximum 40-second breaks. Like, you want like a 2-minute demo.
Tight. 2 to 3 minute demo max.
Right.
Your best stuff.
And I was like, that's so crazy because I would have thought you put the whole break and it's like 4 minutes, you know, 4 to 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You're like, nuh-uh, no way. 2.5, 3 minutes. And I was like, okay, cool. Then you pull up your demo. Tell us, what happens, Nick?
It's about 5 hours long, approximately.
So this is like the email that you sent to get this job. You've gone back and you've checked the email you sent to get this job.
So I pulled it up, the piece of audio that I had sent to our boss, Mama Bear Mel, to effectively get me – I did have to effectively audition, you know, a demo to get it post that. But, yeah, the first tape that I sent through, my like showreel, if you will, was not good. I've since actually gone back to the emails and have discovered why that is the case.
Okay. So the mystery. So essentially you had said, hey, this is, you want to keep it short and sharp and to the point.
Yeah.
And then we opened it up and you're like, this is 6 minutes long.
Yeah. I was like, I was baffled. Like, why would I have sent, there's no world in which I would have sent a 6 minute demo.
But in this world you did.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't understand what has happened here.
Uh-huh.
And so I've since gone back and found it. Found the reason why I sent him a 6 minute tape.
Okay. Is it because he said, hey, I want specifically a 6 minute tape?
Yeah. Well, it's 5 minutes and 59 seconds. So I missed the mark on that. So specifically what happened is because I did find it. My demo is about 2.5 to 2:45 long.
Okay.
So the actual demo that I have, it runs at about 2:45. That way I give myself 15 seconds of me talking at the top being like, hey, this is Nick Fan's demo for X job Y and Z. This is a bit sort of inside baseball for people that are, you know, outside of the industry, peek behind the screens and all that stuff.
But, totally.
That's sort of how you get considered for jobs, is you got to show people that don't know who you exist, who you are in about a couple of minutes' time. I mean, people get the concept of showreels, I guess, maybe.
Yeah, totally. I mean, actors do them, very arts-based sort of thing.
Absolutely.
Because you have a resume, but you could have like a million things on your resume, but if you can't actually do the job...
Yeah. They want to see, it doesn't matter. Like, you could have nothing on your resume, but if your demo is fire, like, they're going to take you.
Yeah.
I knew someone that got an incredible, incredible radio job, and she'd been in the industry for maybe like a year and a half, just had a really good demo, got herself the audition.
Mm.
So she sent a demo, got a demo, and then is still there to this day.
Wow.
Yeah. And didn't have, don't need a resume. They didn't need the CV stuff, you know?
There you go. So demo, important.
Yeah, important. So the reason why my demo that I sent to him was horseshit, frankly, was because what had happened when I initially found out that this job was up is I didn't have a laptop or anything with me, or access to my demos. So when I said, hey, I just, you know, wanted to let you know that I'm interested, he was like, yeah, send me through your stuff. The only stuff that I had was a 6 minute tape that I had cut together for whatever reason. So it was the only piece of audio that I actually had access to. I was like, well, look, it's not perfect, but it would be better. I have to get in now or I won't get in at all.
Okay.
So the only reason I sent the 6 minute thing was because it's the only thing I had to send him.
Which, I mean,
I was overseas at the time.
We shouldn't advocate this behavior, I think.
What do you mean?
If you could have done it differently, you would have. But this was a very, you know, specific circumstance where that was all you could do.
Certainly. If you're like, I mean, I know some younger radio people who are sort of trying to break in. Some do listen to this podcast. Definitely do not follow my footsteps. What I would actually say, if I could, and look, I'm not looking for a job. I'm quite happy where I am at the moment. But like for those who are sort of maybe looking for stuff, it would be very beneficial if you had a demo on your phone at any given point, like the file.
Ooh.
The actual file, because I realized that as I was trying to send an email to this guy, to my eventual boss Mel, that I just didn't have a 2 to 3 minute reel that I wanted, like that I was happy to send out.
That's so interesting, and that's a great little tidbit.
Always be ready, always have something that you can, you know, you can send around, because stuff pops up so quick in this industry as well, and
totally.
Just disappears just as quickly, so you got to be ready to go. I did have like a couple of versions of my actual demo at the time, like the 2 to 3 minute version. Mm-hmm. But at the start of them was the name of other stations. So it was me being like, hey, this is Nick, super excited to be working at K-Rock, insert person's name here. Yeah, I'd love to work at Triple M to do X, Y, and Z. Here's some of my stuff.
That's Send it to Mal and be like, hey, Mal, just don't listen to the first 15 seconds.
Scrub ahead. Yeah. So I guess I just opted. Like, and ultimately, like, I'm here, so it obviously didn't matter all that much. Mm. Like it got me in, and I don't know. I'd be interested. We have a meeting with our boss in like half an hour.
Yeah, I'm curious as well.
I might ask him if he listens to the whole thing.
I want to know too.
I think he might have. I don't think he would have given me the demo if he hadn't have heard the whole thing. Like, admittedly, it's a bad move, but like, if someone sends you 6 minutes of audio, if the first three are enough to make him interested, he would listen to the other three.
Yeah, Mal does strike me as the type of person that would listen.
Because it's like, even if, because if he heard 3 minutes and was like, oh, he's good enough to offer a demo, I should see what the other three is.
Mm.
Otherwise, it could have been awful. And I could imagine if it was really bad stuff and take it away. Who knows?
True.
It's a weird industry like that, though. Like,
it certainly is. And here we are in it.
Mm,
right absolutely. In the thick of it.
For now.
For now. Wait, that's ominous.
Yeah.
Am I going to get murdered?
Yeah, this is going to be it's like the third in the trilogy for Knives Out.
Shit.
At a radio station.
No.
That would be interesting. I'd watch that.
I would watch that too.
I love that. Just, you know, Daniel Craig hanging out.
I mean, yeah. Nice.
Daniel Craig. Have you seen both of the Knives Out movies?
Yeah.
Is Lakeith Stanfield in the second one?
I don't know who that is.
He's the African-American guy who plays the other detective in the first one. He's in like Atlanta.
I don't think he is in the second one.
No, he's really good though. He's in a lot of stuff nowadays. I really like him. He's cool.
Sweet.
Anyway, if you're in the industry, stay in it.
Oh, is that the takeaway from today's pod?
I don't know what the takeaway is. What do you think? What is the takeaway? Do I have wisdom to him? I don't know if I've imparted any wisdom.
I think the takeaway is always be prepared.
Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts,
and sometimes things work out even if they potentially shouldn't.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess that
I would have never thought to look back at that demo. I don't reckon I even realized it was 6 minutes when I sent it. I would have just been like, well, this is the only thing that doesn't have weird specific stuff on it.
Mm.
It was weird to listen back to radio from...
You sounded so different.
Yeah, maybe should I put a little bit into the podcast maybe?
Yeah.
I'll put it up next. So before the best bits from this morning play, I'll put a little bit of my demo in like a break.
Should I say who you sound like or just let them?
No, you can say it. I mean, people will figure it out.
So it honestly uncanny. Like we played it a little bit in studio and he sounds so much like Hamish from Hamish and Andy, Hamish Blake. Literally, like I didn't need to close my eyes, but sounds so the same.
Yeah. And that was a comment that I got a lot early on because I'm from a generation of, I guess, radio hosts that like our radio
Aspire,
idols
yeah.
were Hamish and Andy.
Yeah.
So a lot of my comedic stuff was shaped by them.
Mm.
And so we probably have I've never met the guy, but like I imagine we have very similar senses of humor and ways of expressing that humor.
Mm.
And so in my early careers, when I would like make certain jokes or speak certain ways, use certain phrases, quips X, Y, and Z, people would be like, people thought they were actually listening to Hamish Blake.
Yeah.
They'd be like, oh, Hamish Blake was on the show. I'm like, no, that's me. And I was like, and at the time it was it was kind of a weird compliment because it was also nice to be like, well, you think that I'm good enough to be him, but also like you kind of to some degree you want to be yourself a little bit.
Of course.
Because it's like I don't want like, I imagine it's similar to cover bands who are like, yeah, it's great that you can sound like a band that's like known for being good, but also like, you know, you're also a musician, like yeah. You would like to be your own thing.
Absolutely. I think, and I, my personal belief is like authenticity is so important.
Absolutely.
And as you said, exactly what you just said, I agree with those sentiments entirely. Like you want to be great and being associated or likened to someone that is great is awesome, but also like you want to be yourself, you know, you want to have your own brand. You want to be your own thing and authenticity is key.
Yeah. Especially like, I guess from being a straight white dude, which is a lot of radio hosts in this country. It's like, you know, any version of different you've got would be great.
Mm, totally.
Which a lot of us don't have.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting though. Like I wonder when you like slipped out of that. Was it a conscious thing?
Like it?
Yeah.
I think, I don't know if it was a conscious thing. I can identify the period of time that it happened because it was just a really big chunk where I wasn't on air.
Mm.
There was about a 2-year stretch where There was 876 days where I wasn't on air.
Wow. Between, you know the specific days.
It was a big day.
What a...
Between losing my show in Queensland and then starting here. It was a big day. Big stretch of time. And so obviously it happened in that period, I imagine. Unless maybe you listened back at the start of this year and somehow I did sound like Hamish Blake. I don't think I did at the start of this year at the very least. But it happened somewhere in that time. And then I also think that comedically I think what I find funny and how I expressed comedy was isn't changed that much, but I also think that there's like different ways that I express it now. You know, I've built on it, I think, and it's like that same stuff I used to find funny and how I used to try and be funny is there as well, but then now there's also other stuff.
There's layers.
Layers. Like I used to, like now I, the part that I find the most fun about radio is I don't like leading the breaks. I much prefer someone else to lead the breaks because I, at least from when I get to feel like I'm the funniest and enjoy it the most is when I'm reacting to other people's stuff.
Yeah, you can tell as well.
And it's and I think that's when I'm both enjoying it and it's the best kind of part of the show. So, you know, ideally you'll do, but like I'll be able to be funny on my own anyway, but that's the business.
That is the business.
That's the business.
That's how we started the podcast that got deleted.
Yeah, we kept saying that's the business. And then the business, as it turns out, hasn't taught me to press record because I hadn't pressed the right buttons, which maybe is why I spent so many days out of radio. Who's to say?
It's all piecing together.
Yeah. So the big takeaway is that's the business.
Yes, that's the business.
Authenticity.
Uh-huh.
Have a demo on your phone. That's, I mean, a very specific.
I love that, though. It's a great
If you're in a creative profession, you should, and this is not by any means an original piece of advice, but if you're in a creative profession, you should have easy access to show someone your material.
Agreed.
It should be super easy to find you.
100%.
Like, you should be able to do it within, just by pressing a few buttons on your phone, realistically.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's, you know, on your Instagram, like, you know, you're a comedian, you've got, you know, snippets of your shows.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a musician, you should be on something.
Totally.
Don't be on some weird version of SoundCloud. Try and
like, or if that's your thing, you can do that as well. You just probably
I don't use SoundCloud. Is it easy to use? Is SoundCloud an app?
So many questions about SoundCloud. SoundCloud surely has an app. It is easy to use in the sense that if I put a SoundCloud link on my Instagram, for example,
it takes you right there.
You don't need to sign into anything. You can just play it.
A lot of
music managers send us stuff on SoundCloud before interviews and stuff.
Do they really?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really noticed that. All right, maybe I'll get into SoundCloud.
What, are you becoming a musician?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. That's a genuine. This, you want to talk about layers?
Wait,
talk about the man.
What do you mean?
I want to put out a mixtape by the end of next year.
Are you joking?
Nah.
What are you? So singing?
Maybe like some sort of rap or hip hop.
Are you joking?
No.
Rap or hip hop?
Yeah.
Nick, it's taken me 5 weeks to get this out of you.
I've got that much. I've got a lot to me.
It's taken 5 weeks to get this out of you. Wowza.
I have like a home studio and stuff. I'm learning.
You have a home studio?
Well, I use it for other like regular voice recording and podcasting stuff, but I've like built my room, my desk has like a, I've got like little MIDI keyboards and like interfaces and like microphone setups, dual monitors and all that jazz.
My jaw is on the floor.
I'll send you a picture of it.
Jaws to the floor.
I'm learning all the stuff though, because like I don't really have.
What are you
going to
rap
background about? I don't know. No, really.
I'm not laughing at your dreams.
It's just that's fair.
It's just very startling. It's not something I would have guessed.
It's not something I talk about all that often. I've only mentioned it. This might be the first time I talked about it on the podcast. It's something that I'm loosely interested in, and I don't know how like actively I'm going to. Because I think there's also this weird habit that I think maybe it's our generation thing. There's this weird habit of people feel the need to make their hobbies and interests into like career-y stuff.
So true.
And I don't really like that. And so this is why it's kind of just a for me thing at this point. Mm-hmm. I would like to release it and have like people listen to it. And the idea of actually performing live is very cool to me. Like I would love to do that at some stage, but also like it's that far down the track that I'm not even like, you know, I've got to figure out how to make it all happen first.
Wow.
Yeah. Cause I really like, so do you want where it stems from? It's like, because I've spoken about it on the podcast before, and you know that I really like improv.
Yes.
I really love musical improv because I can freestyle in different genres a little bit. And so I really love doing that. And so I will, like, most of the time in the car, I'll listen to a song or two, but then I will just, like, freestyle in whatever the genre I'm listening to is. So it might be like, I might be listening to, like Broadway hits. And it's like, I was listening to like Hamilton a lot, like last year, for example. So I was trying to do it in that specific cadence of like Lin-Manuel Miranda. Sometimes it'll be like almost like more like a moody hip hop. Sometimes like, I don't really do like the old Eminem shit because that's too aggressive and that's not all. I don't really like that sort of stuff anymore. But when I was a kid, I did.
You got the hoodies for it.
Absolutely. I'll get the shaved head. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, any angsty teen that wore a gray hoodie growing up, oh, they drew the comparison. No, you're wrong. Absolutely.
And he's bald too, right?
No, I think he's got like a buzz cut.
Oh, okay.
He's got like a buzz cut. I think he's got like brown hair maybe.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
It used to be bleached. I think everyone just assumed that there's probably a time between bleach and brown where it might have been shaved off completely, but who knows?
Mm.
Yeah.
Super interesting. Yeah,
man's got a lot going on.
Really, really interesting.
Mm.
I, you know what? I wish you the best.
Thank you. I don't have a name yet. That's something that I'm...
Yeah, I was going to ask.
Because whenever I get like interested in a name, I have like a couple of friends I talk to it about, mostly like one or two. And then I'll like pitch names and then, you know, there's never a name where everyone's 100% on board.
Right.
So like, I'll be like, I think this is a good name.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, nah, that's lame. Or then I'll be like, I remember last time I had beers with some friends, I was like, here's like five names that I'm considering. And they're like, no. Oh, I like that one. And the one they liked, I was like, oh, I barely liked that one.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? Who knows? Maybe the raps come before the name. Who knows?
Oh, they absolutely have. I've got no idea like what the like, but I want to be able to think of a name because like a lot of rappers rhyme their names and stuff.
True.
So it would open up rhyme schemes quite a bit if I could figure that out.
Okay, so we need a rhymeable rap name for Nick.
Yeah, so not like DJ Orange or something.
Okay, well, we got one we're definitely not going to use.
DJ Silver. DJ Purple.
Are you going to be a DJ?
No.
Because well,
in a way, I am. Just by the way, like that's what this job is technically.
I suppose you are a disc jockey in the sense that you don't play discs and
that's
aren't
what
a jockey.
That's what our job historically. No, yeah,
I know.
Coming after me, and then this is why my first release is going to be a diss track aimed at you.
My name's pretty hard to rhyme with.
M.
No, Tressida.
We'll figure it out.
Cool.
All right. There's a bit about me. It's a very, very self-indulgent podcast. I apologize. We'll make it, what's it called when it's indulgent on you tomorrow? Maybe we'll do that.
Self-indulgent as well, but from my end?
Sure. Bye.
Bye.
Woo, good morning to you.
Oh, Jess, we're excited. There's a song in your soul there as well. We're very pumped. Look, it's got to be exciting to have new music finally out there. You've been working on it for a while, right?
Yeah, definitely. I have been working on this record for a while. Yours Forever really came from, the inspiration came from one of the songs I'd written with Shun Goodso, who's a fabulous singer-songwriter, an incredible artist, and style swagger from Melbourne. But I'd written quite actually, the bulk of the album is written in Melbourne. So I feel very close to Melbourne as I've been writing there with great friends who I've never written with before. And it's just been fabulous that I've been able to do that and get out of my comfort zone and work with people I've never worked with to create such magic on Yours Forever.
Jess, your first single from the album, Give You Love, it features Jason Derulo. We got a taste of it on Monday night on The Voice. And it was so good. I wonder, you know, you just mentioned collabs. So can we expect some more collabs on the album?
Oh, definitely. You know, I love being able to collaborate with so many musicians and artists, and that's definitely in the works of the record. I'm still kind of producing here and there, and hence, you know, it coming out in 2024. And off the back of that, I'll be able to go and share it and tour around regional Victoria, which I'm a bit nervous about. But yeah, I think because it's new material and, you know, the new stories that and different angles that I've written certain stories in that I wouldn't necessarily have, you know, told them in that way. But yeah, it'll be nice and fresh. And yeah, I haven't been on the road for a while. So this is something special I've been cooking up and working with my band. And, you know, and again, you know, talking about collaborations, you know, I'd love to bring, you know, a few special people and out on, you know, given that exposure and just to collaborate. That's something that I love as a songwriter and be able to perform in different ways with the songs.
That's a good sizzle, Jess.
Absolutely. You've sold us. I mean, we're going to be there anywhere, but we do extra bit.
I'm glad.
Jess, you talk about the new tracks, new album being, it's about being comfortable in your skin. You're not comparing yourself to anyone, trying to be something or someone that you're not or that people expect you to be. Being in the limelight of Australia, you've been on our screens, on the radio's airwaves for a little while now. Surely that must be incredibly hard to because there would be a lot of expectation on you, right? Like, how does it come to that point where you feel comfortable doing that?
Yeah, you know, and I think it's about being uncomfortable. I think it's really trying new things in different ways because I think you can get caught in a bit of a circle. You can get caught in a circle of, doing the normal thing and having that routine. And for me, I think it was about switching it up, you know, working with people that I didn't think was possible, and particularly people I'd never worked with, working in different spaces. Like, I was writing in spaces that made me feel kind of, you know, on edge and feel like, you know, I was alone. But at the same time, it kind of brought out really the best in me and saying things that I wouldn't normally say. Or coming from a different angle and saying certain things that have happened in my life. And it really kind of, brought out a lot of melodies. And, you know, there's a song called Quiet Like You, and it is quiet. It's a quiet song. And I think if I was to sing it, I would imagine myself in this kind of dark room. And as I, you know, as I grow with the song and I, you know, the song, you know, gets intense and I, you know, there's more light, you know, and by the end of the song, it's just a bright light around this room and beautiful. It feels lighter and it feels freer. But yeah, there's a lot of kind of visual transformations within a lot of the songs. And, I hope that really reaches people that need it the most.
Look, we're talking about visuals there. Let's talk about the performance on The Voice with Jason Derulo, which is what a lot of our listeners we know have seen and we've watched online countless times. And also, by the way, side note, not only just that performance, but the music video is incredible.
Thank you.
It's really well put together. Like I said to Em, I've said this, I say this a bit on the show as well, but any song that has choir in it just sort of elevates by another
player. Nick loves it.
Yeah, and I agree. And, you know, whether it's a choir, whether it's just many voices, for me, I love working with layers on a song, and particularly if it's not just, you know, putting production aside, adding vocals and having like harmonies is one of my favorite things. I think it's magic when you put different textures and different tones of voices together. It really does amplify and gives me goosebumps. And, you know, I could listen to a song that's just totally a cappella with voices and feel completely satisfied and being transformed to somewhere else, you know, from being completely sad to maybe knowing, you know, that there's a possibility or there's, you know, I think it really does give a sense of awareness and kind of like, who am I, where am I? And, you know, I'm good to go now. I think I have what I need to, you know, to go through that door perhaps. But yeah, it's one of my favorite things to do. And this song particularly, working with Wilson, who's an incredible artist and a songwriter. And she's really the creator of this song and the concept around it. And I just imagined, you know, there being more voices, not just our voices being layered, but, you know, many voices that, you know, come into this song and the people that we meet along the way that are going to be a part of it. Yeah, so it's really about adding, and every time I sing this song, there's going to be more voices that are on this, and particularly for anyone who will eventually sing it for themselves.
Jess, when you're writing a song and putting a song together like that, like, do you go into it knowing, hey, I want to put choir in this, or do you start writing and you start, I guess, finding the vibe of the song and go, oh, I think this would suit it a bit better?
Yeah, it's always like really traveling with the song. Like, this song has been in the making, since last year, And so, you know, it's always, you know, forever changing, and, you know, more character, more personality, the more that I have certain people working on it, whether it's a producer, another songwriter, or, you know, an artist like Jason, you know, who's such a great friend. And I'm just so glad that he added, you know, his soul and his, you know, his soul and his voice, you know, lending his voice to this beautiful story.
Absolutely.
And yeah, when I first heard him, I mean, it took him 2 days to lay his vocals on it. But when I got it back on the third day, I was just, yeah, I just knew straight away. I was like, this is big. And, it, you know, it's not going to be about us. It'll be about the world and people who will, you know, be connected with the song. So I'm very, it is a special one. And I'm really glad that it's out there in the universe now.
And you can actually see that as well. Like when we talk about the show, the live performance with the voice, like you just look overjoyed about everything
totally
that's going. Like you can tell
so
that you're
good.
Both having an incredible time performing it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think, you know, that was the first time, well, the second time performing it, you know, for the world. And yeah, it just felt invigorating. Like I just felt like we were floating, levitating, and just being able to gift that energy out. And I couldn't help but my heart was smiling, my soul was smiling.
I love it.
And I know that, you know, whoever is sitting alone with this song or perhaps with the people that they love will feel that joy as well.
Absolutely. Jess, at the top of our chat, you mentioned that you were a little bit nervous about coming to Regional Vic. You've got yes. shows Traralgon, Warragul, Bendigo. Nick and I can both, we can, you know, put money on it. We can guarantee our Regional Victorians are absolutely going to love you. You're going to have the best
way.
Time. We cannot wait.
Woo! Oh, I cannot wait. And I look forward to seeing you guys at the show and Regional Victoria. I'm coming for you. Geelong, Bendigo, Warragul. Yeah, it's going to be such a wonderful time to just get out and perform again and bring voices on stage, you know, who, you know, the incredible talent along the way. And yeah, just have a good time.
So good.
A massive 2024 for Jess Malwell and for Regional Victoria, of course. The new album, Yours Forever, the national tour, kicks off in March next year. And February 9, make sure you save that in your calendars, people. That is when you're going to be able to hear the new album, Yours yeah. Forever. Pre-order it, pre-save it now. Jess Malwell, thank you so much for your time this morning. We can't wait to hear it.
Thank you for your time and thank you for having me on this show. Big love.
In about 4 weeks, I have the hardest physical task of my life ahead of me.
Whoa.
The hardest thing that I've ever decided that I was going to do. There are technically harder things, but for me, it's going to be running a half marathon. Running. I thought it was a great idea to sign up for this half marathon when I did. I think I signed up back in like Feb, ages ago. And isn't it like the most classic thing of like, sign up for something that's way down the track and you're like, I'm sure I'll pull it together for then, right?
Oh, yeah.
But here we are 4 weeks out and silly old me, I forgot to do marathon training.
It seems like an important thing to do if you're going to do a marathon.
Wait, I was just like, oh, I'm sure I'll have plenty of time. The soccer season ran long. I didn't run during the soccer season as much as I probably should have. And here I am 4 weeks out from going, geez, where are my runners?
But surely soccer in itself is a little bit of training. Like you have to like be on the field running for up and down a bit. I don't really know how soccer works, obviously.
Some running involved.
Yeah.
So there's a few, for a few Ks, I feel pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And then I hit the wall. Now, ideally, I'd be hitting the wall at about the the full way point, I suppose, at the halfway through the marathon, about 21 Ks in.
That's a lot of kilometers.
So I ran for a run yesterday. I got to like 4. I was like, oh, this is sucks.
So what are you going to do if you can't do it?
Dunno. I guess we'll be really just exercising my legal rights to all the medical personnel that are on site. What I didn't realize is because I was talking to someone here at the office, one of the guys that works in audio production, he does some of the sounds for us from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing the full marathon. He's a much better runner, incredible, much better runner. So, you know, really aspire to be like him. But I was like, what date is it? And it turns out it's a week earlier than I thought it was.
Oh, no.
So it's on like a Sunday morning. And then in terms of like my schedule, I've got like my soccer presentation at the Saturday night beforehand.
Oh no. Could it get any worse for you at this point?
I don't know like what proper marathoners go through, but I don't know if they're out on the beers the night before.
I'm going to hazard a guess.
I assume not, but
yeah.
Who's to say? I haven't watched it.
I'm like ready for you. Do you get like blue Powerade when you're running a marathon? Like I'm ready for you to be like blue spewing on this half marathon.
You'll be able to see exactly how far I've got along the track. Just by, it's kind of like Hansel and Gretel, but a really depressing, disgusting version. Hey, unfortunate news right now. A small regional town, I'm going to take you over to China, southern China, is currently under attack by our probably one of the most fearsome animals on the planet, the crocodile. Maybe a little too upbeat for the Chinese town at the moment. I don't know how much Elton is getting played, but over in China right now, off the back of some pretty awful weather they've been having, a crocodile farm where they obviously they grow the crocs and I take the meat, take the skin, do all that stuff with crocs. It flooded and 75 crocodiles escaped into this small Chinese town. And now the town is currently under siege from these crocodiles and some high flood waters.
You know what this sounds like? Real life Sharknado.
I don't know the plot of Sharknado.
It's crocodile
typhoon. It's crocodile typhoon.
My headphones just fell off. Yes, brilliant.
And right now, the people in this small town, they are worried because 75 crocodiles have escaped. There were 69 adult crocodiles and further 6 baby crocodiles.
Whoa, that's too many crocs in my opinion.
Well, to talk about too many crocodiles, there's a quote from the Dazhong Daily, which is one of their newspapers that covers the region. There's a quote from one of the district leaders saying, "We're trying to keep things under control, but the number of escaped crocodiles is just a bit too many."
It's like, if it was like 10 to 12, that would be okay.
Well, it does imply there is an acceptable number of crocodiles that have escaped, isn't it?
Yeah, truly. So what's happening? Are they trying to grab the crocodiles? Like, what's their plan of attack here?
They are struggling to get the situation under grasp because there's still a lot of floodwaters. So it's obviously hard for them to both get people out there in the streets. And it's like the prime place for a crocodile to be at the moment is low-lying water. They've managed to get 8 of the crocodiles.
Okay.
Which means that there's still 67 out there out and about.
I would argue still too many.
So right now, yeah, just a bit too many. Right now, all the residents of this Chinese town, they're being urged to stay at home and to stay away from water. But when some of the houses are, it's like a town that's on the river. It's like most of the town.
Oh, no.
So right now, the crocodiles are running this town.
I mean, gosh.
Which also feels like a fun child's cartoon, just the crocodiles running the show now.
Well, there was like a singing crocodile with like Shawn Mendes. Maybe they could do something with that.
I find this whole story especially funny because like they're obviously very scared of crocodiles. And like they're a fearsome animal.
Mm.
But like in Australia, like we just have, like I used to live in Rockhampton up in central Queensland, and literally there were crocodiles that would like walk down the street from time to time. And people were like, we were concerned, but we didn't get worked up about it.
Yeah, it's all about perspective when it comes to crocodiles.
Absolutely. There's a lot of Australians right now going, "Ugh, it's not a crocodile problem. This is a crocodile problem." Back on screen tonight, thank God you're here from 7:30 on 10 and 10 Play. Massive star-studded lineup as always. Tonight you catch Lloyd Langford, Julia Zemira and Joel Creasy stepping through that blue door, including that massive lineup is Frankie McNair, who joins us now. Frankie, good morning.
Good morning.
Frankie, we are very excited to see you step through the door tonight. In your life, because there's no real training you can do for Thank God You're Here, realistically, is there any life experience you're bringing into this that makes you feel a bit more comfortable about the situation?
I think just riffing and I think I was a kid at school who just like didn't know what was happening most of the time. And so I think I just kind of used that. Just never really knowing what's going on, but just kind of smiling and nodding, you know?
Love that energy, Frankie. Are there any of the costumes that you're wearing on tonight's show that you wanted to take home?
No. I know.
I think some of them are a bit of fun. Like some of them I'm like, that would be awesome at a costume party. Like they're kind of really well done.
Oh, 100%. And like, you truly have no idea. Like I was trying to get like sneak information out of like my makeup artist. I was like, "Oh, you're doing a bit of a bold eye there." And she's like, "Yep."
I like that. That's the stealthiness you need, I think, to get yourself ahead of the game.
Yeah. And they are well aware that you're trying to do it.
this is not their first rodeo.
When you're shooting, Frankie, and you're sort of backstage with everyone that's there on the night, does anyone have like, because you're going up there with like Julia Zemira and people who have done it before, are they like calm backstage like seasoned veterans, or is everyone's there going like, "Hey, we don't know what's going to happen"?
I, I did feel, especially Julie, I feel like Julie, like a tornado could be happening around her and she would still just be like, you know, like holding your hand, being like, do you need water? Are you okay?
So
like,
nice.
She was such an angel. Yeah, it was really nice, like, to be around people who had done it before, because they just kind of said, like, you can't do anything, so just have fun. And that was really nice. But, yeah, I don't think she broke a sweat.
Did you have fun? You said, you know, just have fun with it. Obviously, you do a lot of improv, which is basically this. Was this, like, an elevated version of what you're kind of used to? And was it, you know, super-duper fun?
It was so fun. I was absolutely terrified. Like I think I actually forgot. I think I missed them saying, thank God you're here.
Oh, no.
When I walked in the door because I just remember I walked in and I was just looking around and then they were just staring at me and I was like, oh, they've just said it and I haven't heard it. So it's just like a sensory overload because it's like improv, but there's also a budget, you know?
Totally. Totally.
Nice stuff to look at whilst you're out there just pretending and playing make-believe. Frankie, you said that, you know, you've been riffing since, you know, way back when, and that's how you sort of got the experience. Were you a fan of the show? Was it a fun call to get when they go, hey, we'd love you to be on it?
It was insane. I used to watch this show, like, religiously. I feel like any little weird comedy nerd, it was, thank God you're here, was, like, the show that you would watch. And so when I heard they were bringing it back, I was like, that's amazing. And then I got the call and I was like, what have I done in a past life to deserve this? It was absolutely wild. I love the show so much.
All right. Hey, we're very excited to see you out there tonight, of course, with that massive lineup. Lloyd Langford, Julia Zamira, Joel Creasy's in there as well. Frankie McNair in Catron. Thank God you're here tonight from 7:30 on 10 and 10 Play. Frankie, thanks for your time this morning, mate.
No worries. Thank you so much.
A new survey has been released, surveying a bunch of Australians, trying to find the most and least trusted professions, the least and most trusted jobs in this country of ours.
Okay.
The most trusted jobs were, of no surprise, I think, when I tell you what they are. The most trusted professions were number one, firefighter, number two, ambulance service workers, and number three was pharmacists. All pretty trustworthy, I think.
Interesting, yes.
Yeah, now, look, I don't know if I necessarily agree on the order, but I would agree, all trustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
The least trusted, the dodgy people out there in Australia.
Can I guess?
They're very specific jobs. If you think you can guess them, if you think you know that, what, you know, least trusted, the dodgy souls.
I would say two of the least trustworthy professions that I can think of. Number one, least trustworthy, quite confusing, retail assistants.
Mm.
Like when I go to try on a dress and then I come out of the change room and I look like a bachelor's handbag.
Yeah, a roast chicken. A nice, oily, because you're sweated, covered in oil, plastic.
And they go, oh, doll, you look so good. I'm like, I do not trust you.
Well, they just might like roast chicken.
You are lying to me. Like, you could look terrible. It's happened to me countless times.
Well, you might just look terrible.
No, they just want you to buy the dress.
But I'm saying if you look terrible all the time, like, you know, it might be
Nick.
Just, I don't know. I'm not in there with you. Don't shoot the messenger. Shoot the retail assistant. No, it's not them. They're not on the list of most or least trusted.
Okay,
they're
interesting.
In the middle.
My second guess would be dental assistants.
You think that they shouldn't be trusted?
I just don't trust them with the sucky thing. Like when I've been to the dentist so many times where I'm like, you know, just getting a checkup or whatever, and they've got the little suction vacuum thing in my mouth to get the saliva and excess liquid and stuff, and they like suck my tongue or like suck my cheek a bit. I'm like, ow!
Yeah, what do you do? Yeah, I don't know if I trust them either. Like, what are you doing when I'm back and I can't see what's happening? Where are you? I want to see where everyone in the room is. I want to make sure you're not
trying to... Where are your hands?
Where are you? Where's my wallet all of a sudden? No, dental assistant, not on the list.
Okay.
Doesn't make the list.
Okay.
The least trusted profession in Australia, according to Australians, is real estate agent.
Oh, absolutely. I don't know why I didn't think of that.
Real estate agents, according to Australians, scored very low on like the index of ethics, low integrity expectations across this country.
Would not agree more, actually.
Yeah. I'm sorry to all real estate agents. Maybe there are some outliers, but that's just what the Australian public believes.
So, sorry.
Every experience that I've had with a real estate agent has been difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Is me being polite and legal about it.
Totally.
But yeah, so it's a lot of Australians, and there's several thousand that were surveyed in the latest Governance Institute of Australian Ethics Index survey.
Okay.
That's
real
number,
estate agents.
Number one. Now, I'll put a little bit of T's and C's may apply here because number two on the list was just the media.
Oh, the no. Media. Is that us?
It's just the people that made the list. So number one was Number one was real estate agents. Number two was the people that made the list.
Oh, wow.
So who do we trust in this situation?
Our hands are tied.
Can you even trust us? Can you even trust what we're talking about right now?
Are you even listening to anything right now?
Am I Nick? Is this Em? Are we going to play music next? Absolutely not, actually. Got to pay some ads.
Nick and Jules. That was the Nick and Jules podcast. Know someone who would make a great disability support worker? Employ them through Carer Solutions.